So, Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome you for this session. It is called Developing the Bhakti Rasa, or the and the course will be about emotional maturation in a spiritual context. It is a quite fascinating subject. It is not a very, let me say, easy subject. It's a subject where I became interested maybe 3 years about, and I have researched, and I'm very happy to present some of these things today to you. I would be very, very glad if you could follow the courses or the different subjects, because I think we are all aware emotions are something which sometimes things which are following their own rules. They are sometimes when they are not properly cared for, developing into fanaticism, sentimentalism, imaginative things. At the same time, they can never be avoided. They are unavoidable, and therefore they are also there in our spiritual growth. So we will see how we can harness these very powerful factors of our lives in such a way that they will be very useful for Krishna conscious growth. But since we have a spiritual movement which a very, very solid philosophical background, which will be the base of what we present today, hearing and talking about emotions is something which I would say will be a little challenging for you at times. I therefore have it will be a little interesting for you at times. Maybe you will have to think deeply at times, and at all times you have to be very careful that you understand what I'm trying to present in a proper way. You will have to listen very carefully and think deeply. Having said this, I want to say I'm very, very grateful that I can be here with all of you, and I promise to give my best. I just am greatly inspired to see you. And I would say, let us start with Jayarada Madhava and then go right into it. Outset, I would like to introduce to you something, three points which might help you to draw more out of the material which will be presented throughout these classes. The classes will take place in the morning session. It was only due to some organizational reasons that this class was switched with the class of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. These points which I would like to introduce to you have been picked up by me from class, or let me say a seminar by His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who wanted to create for his audience an experience, and in order that the experience could come about, the active participation, not just the listening participation, but other functions other than listening were important. From this I have condensed the 3 points, slightly altered 1 point, but here they come. I would request you to attend this in a meditative way, if you can, if you just a little busy, and you can also come in your busy mind, but think that I might get information for Krishna, for my Krishna conscious advancement here. Let me focus myself or tune myself into a mood which is summarized in each day could be my last day. Let me live or be present fully, almost as present as a person would be present who receives the notice that life is temporary. It should be nicely used. This is a little intense, I know. Then I would like to say something to you who either are accustomed to take notes with your pens or who take mental notes. After the classes which you hear, please try to take an inventory of what you have learned as a new point in your life. Go over it. If there are advices or tips given, try some of the tips which appeal to you and which awaken your curiosity. In other words, be mentally active. The third is, since this is something on emotions and in a context of a personal movement or personal, I would request you to be more personal with the guru, sadhu, and also Krishna. This could mean that you remind yourself of the teachings of your spiritual master. It could mean that you exchange views and thoughts with the assembled devotees. It could mean also that you pray to Radha Gopinath for insights and services. I believe that you can make more use out of this seminar if you approach the Lord and the devotees. Krishna talks about this in the Gita by saying, in the degree that someone surrenders to me, I award themselves accordingly. Let us avoid the mistake of thinking spiritual knowledge is just an thing which you collect like an information on your piece of paper and so on. No, spiritual knowledge is something which should transform us, which should move us, which should in the ultimate end be something which is revealed to us by Lord Krishna. After having said so much, you might think, oops, this seems to be serious. And that is the intention of what we call my private seminar program. You are not a consumer, you are a participant. Welcome. In the beginning, I would like to talk you. I would like not to talk. I would like Srila Prabhupada's tape to be played. Prabhupada is giving a lecture here in Los Angeles at a deity installation program, and you will see as he talks that Srila Prabhupada becomes very moved, that he cries. And I would like to request you to think as you hear, why is Prabhupada so moved? I'm seeing that my assistant is getting it ready. What is the news from the technical department? 1-2 minutes Hare Krishna time means 10 minutes. Then I do something else. You please prepare the technique. At a very early stage in Prabhupada's lecturing, he would coax us into developing attachment to Krishna. It was in 1968 in San Francisco where he emphatically said to his young audience, you have to develop your attachment for Krishna. Begin now. It is a very difficult job, but you can do it. Just as we have a few sincere students here, they are developing. Then he made it very clear that developing attachment for Krishna was the goal. And he said, otherwise, why shall they waste their time in chanting Hare Krishna? And in the same lecture or address, it was given you can find it. Lectures 3, 17 and 26, 68. I'm saying this for those of you who like to find this and read it in their time. Prabhupada said, we are bothering so much for Krishna consciousness. It is possible. The answer is that if you become submissive, if you develop the spirit of service to Krishna, if you simply chant and eat prasadam, Krishna will reveal himself. You begin this process of service, and then it will be possible one day where Krishna will reveal to you, I am like this. Hare Krishna. Attachment is clearly an emotion. Those of you who will observe or come to the other lectures will come in one lecture where we will discuss the development of the philosophy of emotions from Bharata Muni to Rupa Goswami, and you will hear a lot on this subject. As soon as you talk of emotions, you have to be interested in going deeper, because emotions usually come from an area of you which you don't have much control of. Sometimes, therefore, spiritual movements have evoked an ideal of the spiritual practitioner who was or who is very neutral in his emotions, who is shanti. Sham means peace. Shanti means he has come to peace. means unmoved by the ups and downs of life. However, to cut off emotions, because one doesn't always have control of them, since they seem to come often from a dark, undiscovered area of our personality, to cut off emotions is not the process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was talking about this in the first canto, 8th chapter, 42 verse. 42nd verse, one says. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, that means also Hare Krishna devotees, must have this feeling of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Mark now the direction in which Prabhupada goes. Only the objective has to be changed. Desire cannot be negated, but in devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord in place of desire for sense gratification. These were two of the many quotations of emotions and feelings which I have picked for this lecture. I think nowadays you all are computer-loving people, and you know how to type in emotions, and then you get a lot of things from the folio, which Prabhupada said. What I want to say is that emotions are important, and emotions have to be understood and directed. We will hear now a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. Guru Hari, is it ready? Doesn't work. We wanted to hear a lecture of Srila Prabhupada where he talks about emotions for Krishna. I think we can make it work tomorrow. We can go to the relevant devotees, and then we can play it for you. The Prabhupada begins to cry in very exalted, very transcendental emotions. I would like to, this I do tomorrow, ask some of you for a definition of emotions. What is an emotion? The young people always have their fingers up, but we will not do the mistake to ask them. We want to hear some older. Oh, we don't know what we are talking about. Did you have some feeling about what we will talk about? You have come to a lecture. By the way, I should introduce you to Sachinandan Swami style. He wants to sometimes provoke his audience to dance and think. In the kirtan, to dance, and in the lectures, to think. please don't become bewildered or shocked. This is also the way how to sell many MP3 cassettes, tapes, you know, to be a little strong with your audience, but I promise to be not too strong. I see you're getting shocked when this happens. I don't wish this. But our Jayadvaita Maharaj.
Emotions, subjective feelings.
They are subjective feelings. subjective means to your, they are in your own world, feeling, it's all with you, subjective feelings. Something which moves us in certain ways. Our Mataji should know this very well, what are emotions. A wave from the subconsciousness. These are some interesting definitions. In Sankhya philosophy, they are called this vrittis or waves, which come on the lake of the mind, just like waves who appear on a little lake. They are also sometimes called bhavas, bhava, emotion, and this can refer to material emotions as well as spiritual emotions. Emotions, I found a very nice definition, are effects in the consciousness which sometimes come to us, or feelings which come to us sometimes even against our will. And even though we try to get rid of them and push them down, the emotions have the nature to push their way through. Impose their dominance over the whole human being. Emotions are often very short feelings. They come for a very brief time. The Bhagavatam gives one shloka where they are compared to flashes, is it called? Electrical flashes? How do we say this in proper English? Lightning, which come from the sky, and it's really a matter of seconds. Often we don't even become aware of them because they are so fast. However, the emotions leave a trace in our personality and create moods after some time. They may be brief in their direct appearance, but they create certain moods. And these moods, they, after some time, develop into certain conceptions or perspectives of reality, so that finally they develop into judgments. Emotions, in other words, are very powerful, and if left unaware, in other words, if we don't know what is happening, we become very much subjected against our will even by them. For instance, there may be something which goes on my nerves, pang. I see someone who is very unnerving to me. And as a result, or someone may do something against me which goes onto my nerves. Now, whenever I come in a similar situation where the thing happened, then I have an anger in me. For instance, the generation from which I come, a person who is, let me say, from North Germany and a little wealthy and influential background. I had a bad experience with my teacher in school. He wanted to dominate me and tell me what to think. oh, I became so nervous and so rebellious. And later I noticed when I was sitting in a teacher in a situation where the real teacher, my spiritual master, taught me things which were new to me, I saw in me all of a sudden, I felt a little, in Yugoslavian language we say maleteško, a little intense for me. I had developed a, let us say, for my generation, it's a very typical thing from the social background from where I came, an antipathy against any authority, anti-authoritarian thinking. And it had been generated from a bad experience with my German teacher. He was called Mr. Theis. I remember him very clearly. He will always remember me for sure. we had an intense period in both of our lives together. And I noticed it had formed much of what I became later. And I had to become very aware of this in order to deal with this perfectly. Emotions are something which you cannot avoid. It comes to you in times when you are not prepared. It's called in Sanskrit sankalpa, acceptance and rejections and everything which comes between. It comes very, very easy to you, and it begins to very much form you and rule you, and so on. Emotions are there, visible as a short emotion which comes, this is a mental thing, which creates even a physical state of being. For instance, if you always go a little like this, with bent back, it could well be an expression of an emotion, of feeling a little trodden down, a little down, and so on. Whereas someone like this, extremely confident, you can see them as they come walking into the door. But their emotions amongst them, then you will see if I stand before you like this and have a very boring voice, you will not listen as if I'm standing like this, self-confident, and so on. They have, in other words, emotions create a physical state and also an expression, how you react towards the world. They're visible in these three things. As we go deeper into the seminars, we will go a little bit into yoga psychology and look at different other ways to express or to come to grips with emotions. We will also go into aesthetics, that is theater, and the knowledge how to evoke emotions in an audience, and so on. Emotions are very, very much dominated by what we know to be the three modes of material nature. And I would now like to read you from the Bhagavatam about emotions in a devotee's life, which are governed by these modes of material nature. You can already start your work and find out if I may be talking about you at one time. So, where would you like to start? In the mode of ignorance or in the mode of goodness? Ignorance. Okay, this is how the Bhagavatam also starts. Avisantaya yo hingsam dambam matsayam evava samram vibinatrik bhavam maiku yatsatamasa. There is a Sanskrit word which goes through this series of verses which we will listen to together. It is binadrik, a person who has a separated, bina means separated vision. He's not a devotee. He has another interest, not the interest of the Lord. And here it is explained how a devotee thinks, how his emotional life is. We could say when he is having a different interest than Krishna and is covered by tamagun. Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, he is envious, this is sometimes has happened to you, proud, violent and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Tamagun brings feelings of envy, pride, and even anger in your mind. Then there is a person who performs devotional service in the mode of passion. Could you imagine what this devotee would be like? What emotions he would have? What? He's extremely attached to results. Is he attached? Could you maybe specify what results interest him very much? Sorry? How much he can sleep? This is a result? He wants fame very much. He's really aware of, I would like to have people worship me. And opulence also, money. And enjoyment. Lord Krishna says that those who are bound to this can never really have the determination in their life to perform bhakti, which is really a selfless service. His way, he's a controlling type. I would like to read to you this, the worship of deities in the temple by a separatist, it's always this binadrik person, huh? With a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotion. In the mode of passion, material enjoyment, fame and opulence, and so on. This is, if you would like to read it in your own time, the third canto of the Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, starting with text 8 and so on. There, when I ask devotees why they came to Krishna consciousness, they often tell me, no, because we don't want to suffer any longer. It depends now if this devotee is a very passionate or tamasic type, but if he is a little, you know, elevated in sattva, then this motivation to get your own liberation through is a sattvic motivation. The Bhagavad Gita also takes up interesting informations how devotees feel and see things in the different modes. If you want to have more information on this subject, please read the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, text 20, with the purports. I wanted to read to you these verses from the Bhagavatam in order to show you how a devotee can be can have ignorant emotions and so on. I would like to now move on and draw something for you. Please come forward, Radha Ramanvi. I need this thing here. Good. I would like to now set the mood for this seminar with an interesting graphic description. As you have noted, when we cited Prabhupada, what to do with the emotions which come and which are there and which are just determining our whole being, also in devotional service, as we have seen with the three modes, drawing their influence on us, or putting their influence on us, I want to now make something very clear. Prabhupada said we should put these emotions on Krishna. Material or other yoga systems have difficulties what to do with the emotions. Let us talk of Christianity. There is an important shloka for the Christian monks. Brothers, look down on the ground. Around the corner comes a woman with an attractive rupa, form. I will say this to you in German language, and those who will hear it will laugh. I can't express it in another way. It's a very complicated German, and my English is really very basic. This is how it goes, but you will hear by the sound what it means. Brüder, senkt die Blicke nieder. Um die Ecke kommt ein Mieder. Because there might be look down, brothers, because if you see the Mieder, that's a certain dress which women have, then an emotion like lust may come out in you, or greed, so better look down. Often we have heard in our studies with of spiritual traditions that people tried so hard to overcome their lower selves, their lower emotions. They fasted. They took showers. Especially the fight against the sexual urge is something which is not only troubling the Christians, the Buddhists, it has troubled also the Vaishnavas in many ways. And if you look at the way traditions deal with this, a drive and the lusty emotions also, the feelings, the fantasizing, not just the physical stuff, it makes you thoughtful. In bhakti, we hear these are natural emotions, the symptom of a living force, and if they are brought in contact with the Krishna Sun, they will be transformed and Krishnarized. But also in our own Hare Krishna movement, many came who wanted to do this. Many took on the saffron dress, even Swami dress. But something happened on the way to heaven. Attachments which were long forgotten came back, and so on. Focus it on Krishna is the answer. Is this the only answer? As you will go through, as we will go through our seminars, many tips will be given to you, which are resting on this one tip. But I want to say talk a little bit about the emotional journey of a living entity to spirituality. I also want to do this in order to I want to do this in the beginning because I feel my seminar could be misunderstood as touchy-feely, emo, and so on. You will see it. You will receive your blue wonder or your blue miracle. It will be a little different than you expect when you hear emotions in Krishna consciousness. And in order to make myself very clearly understood, I need to now make with you do a little journey where you see a classical evolving of emotions, the journey or uplifting of our lower emotions up to very high states. I'm just noticing I want to write now, but I can't write because I need to speak. Is there an exceptional good handwriter? I think, Kim, you look very talented. You are a young student. Or is it very, very basic or very humble, your writing? Is it... Who is a good writer? Who knows English? That's also important. Anuradha. So Anuradha, please come next to me and look on my notes so that you do it a little similar. We will start here. That means on the bottom of the page, not at the top of the page. The most noble of all emotions is love. But this emotion, when it comes into contact with the material modes of nature, also can become the most lowest and selfish, which is lust. We will start here. Yes. Can you see this, or is it? Would you like to have it a little bigger? Or can you? Yeah, I think you can understand the idea. Lust between the opposite gender, man and woman, and for the body. Also nowadays, it has become a little modernized. Maybe it was always there. Sexual love, you know, whatever, hetero, or I'm not so expert in this. There are many variations of this around lust. Higher than this is the most selfish emotion which we find usually in this world. Higher than this is a form of parental love. We can say parental affection. Parental affection. Then this is then we can come a little higher and come to deep friendship. I mean friendship where, yes, deep friendship, that's very important. It's really a sacrificing type of friendship, deep friendship. A little higher, and not a little higher, but higher than this is what we can call a servitude relationship, where you just exist to serve the other. These are very ideal models. Obviously, when I speak of servitude friendship, or servitude, yes, I don't mean the paid service of a servant. We are very much in the material. These are all tinged by selfishness. Lust, parental affections, which are formed with expectations, deep or friendship, servitude. We come now to an area which we would call neutrality. It's where the selfish feeling of lust or your own benefit has left you. In this area, we find, which is the coveted area of the impersonalists, who have understood that expectations, desires, lusty, exploitative feelings are not good. They come here and try to assemble there. But in bhakti, we go higher. We go to the desire of servitude. Please write down servitude. This is the Dasya Rasa. In brackets, please, Anuradha. Then we go to the deep friendship, friends of Lord Krishna, who are relating with Krishna as their deep friends. Then we come, this rasa? Sakya rasa. We come higher into the parental, parental affection. And then Vatsalya Rasa, you know very well. And then into an area which is the most intimate relationship with the Lord. And I only want, in order to keep you thinking, say the Sanskrit word Madhurya Rasa. Thank you very much. This is a very impressive handwriting. Thank you very much. You may take your seat now. So please watch this a little bit. What is the lowest here is the highest here. What is next, it seems to be almost in a mirrored situation. And in order to get there, to the spiritual domain, you have to strip your emotions of selfishness, which is the underlying color of material emotions. It's the stuff which form your emotions, and it is the stuff which makes gives the juice, the life to your emotions. Now, higher than neutrality is servitude, is deep friendship, higher still is deep friendship, parental affection, and then madhurya rasa. A deep desire to be very close and near to the Lord. Conjugal relationship is sometimes translated. It is something very, very sacred. But all, mind you, all these rasas or tastes, emotional tastes, selfishness is not appearing in them in no form whatsoever. When we talk about spiritual emotions later, I really wish you to remember this graph, which is the foundation of what you will hear little later. Bhakti is a movement of emotion, sorry, love, loving devotion of service, as we say. And as we practice our bhakti, we have to see that we develop our ability to love Krishna. At the moment, we have our love all in this area, and we feel the sweet taste which love gives within these different relationships. But we wish to come to this area by going through the bath of purification. Sometimes devotees tell me, Maharaj, I don't feel anything. I seem to have been, my emotions seem to have been, they have seemed to have died over the years. I seem to not really live any longer. Friends have told me that. And this is a sad statement. It comes when you have avoided emotions, knowing them to pull you towards the material side. If you have learned how to spiritualize your emotions by directing them to Krishna, if you have learned to be a loving person in a responsible way without falling traps to attachment on this level, you will be full of feelings. I want to end this section with a little quotation which I found very handy in what I wish to express. It comes from Fromm, a relatively God-conscious man, but he had a way to express things very nice, and I think this quotation is helpful in expressing a point which I would like to tell you. The ability to love depends on our ability to grow up. Love means a creative orientation. The process of love, where you feel almost newly born, the process of love where you feel newly born, where you feel an awakening, requires one very important quality, faith. Love is always grounded in faith. Therefore, the beginning of devotional service is faith and Shraddha. And in our emotional seminar, or seminar on emotions, we will hear a lot of faith builders, on faith builders, which will help us to emotionally grow. I want to end this first class like you expect a class on emotion to end. I would like to end with a dream. It's a challenging dream. A little while ago, I talked to a disenchanted Hare Krishna member who told me of a dream where he felt Prabhupada appeared to him and brought him back on course. He is now again practicing. This devotee had a romance with illicit sex and drugs for maybe 7 years, and he is free from this and pursuing. He had become very critical to the failures which different devotees, including highly posted leaders, went through, and he had become dissatisfied and had given this as a reason why he left the process. I think there was an emotional reason behind it, but he said, hey, well, like this. Anyways, he had a dream which brought him back. And I would like to end with this. He dreamt he was a detective. He was invited by a community. And the community always, the community had a strange problem. People joined the community, but after a year or 2 years, they all seemed to become a little bit subdued, dull. Their creativity went away. After 5 years, their enthusiasm went away. This showed in their physical forms, the dissatisfaction, which took on a more round shape. And the way they talked to each other, they didn't have time, and they were very brief and short. And the detective was invited now, our detective was invited to find out what is the reason. So he came to the community, he looked at the earth. Maybe there was some strange radioactivity coming from the earth, which made people so lifeless. He investigated climatical, educational, sociological factors. And slowly and surely, an opinion formed in him. Now, he conducted many, many interviews with many people. He always reported the interviews back to the good-hearted leader who was helpless with this phenomena of people's emotional dying process. And he looked, maybe it's because there's so much celibacy, maybe that's the reason. And he looked really everywhere. Finally, he had all his evidence in his little house together. It was two tables like this. He just had to go to one more woman to conduct his last interview. But he knew there would be nothing new. She would just lament, I came here, they are so impersonal, and oh, my expectations, which I read when I read the books of the community, they're not fulfilled. I'm not a loving, ecstatic, fired up Mataji. I think you notice where the thing is going to, the dream is going to. So he said, yes, yes, thank you, and so on. And then went to the house where all the evidence was collected. He wanted now to go and tell the leader of the community. Just noticing I will soon land in troubled water. I mean, we'll get out of the troubled water tomorrow in the lecture. So he went to the leader of the community. I'm only telling you the dream. It's not my dream. It's his dream. He wanted to collect all the information. He wanted to bring him all the information. He was a detective. But as he came to the house where he had all of this, the house was no longer there. It had clearly been picked up from the ground. There was only a dark earth hole. The house was on a truck. It had been sealed with a glass cage. He tried to go into the house to get his proofs together. He couldn't get into. Then he looked towards a forest and out of the forest. It's a dream. You can analyze it. It's only a dream. He saw a bluish form coming out, and he went to Lord Krishna and said, "Krishna, have you picked up my house and sealed the proof?" Krishna smiled at him and said, "I wish that every one of my devotees finds out by himself how to deal maturely with their emotions. I have sent Prabhupada. He has presented a perfect philosophy. He has given the perfect view. Everyone should read his books. Everyone should find out by themselves. My dear devotees, what I will do from tomorrow onwards, I will go with you through these areas. I will present points from our philosophy and also from our tradition. But you will have to find out yourself. That is what I take from this dream as a good thing. How you will spiritualize your emotions, how you will feel deep feelings of Shraddha, faith within you, which will generate a feeling of love within you and a feeling of compassion for others, and which will deeply energize you throughout your lives. You will have to listen very attentively. I will start tomorrow's class. Please be on time with the class of Srila Prabhupada, which is one of my most favorite classes, and I will raise a very disturbing question. The question will be the benefits and the demerits of following authority. The benefits and what is the opposite to benefits? Drawbacks of following authority. You can already think about it because you will be asked to work on this. I want to end here. I'm not really sure when my time is up. Is this correct or is it not correct?
You have
12 minutes. 12 minutes. Okay. Can I ask you for questions at this stage? I agree my presentation is a little mystical. Maybe I should give you a summary so that you feel that there is at least a red line, that at least the lecturer knows what he is trying to talk about. I wanted to start by saying emotions are there. I wanted to tell you a little bit about their power. They are short, but they create moods. I wanted to show you a little bit how they are there in devotional life. They are vrittis or thoughts which are influenced by the modes of material nature. I wanted to tell you of a community which might have nothing to do with you or your experience in the form of a dream, because that's most easily digestible. And I wanted to tell you a little bit that what we will be talking about is the spiritualization of emotions, so that we have when we enter the higher realms, we don't do it like, unfortunately, so many new developments in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where clearly the purification has not been done, and where the emotions which are felt may not be the bhakti rasa, but a mixed rasa with the modes of material nature. Good. Now I will see if there are any questions. Yes, Prabhu. I was hearing emotions come from the mind, but up to now I was thinking they were coming from the heart. These are two identical terminologies. The mind is not the brain, but the mind, the situation of the mind is here. When you feel, for instance, a loving emotion for someone, a boy feels it for a girl, he goes like this, he doesn't go like this. It would mean something else. Prabhupada uses these interchangeable. He says sometimes to purify the mind, sometimes he says we should purify the heart. No, it is interchangeably meant. A heart is certainly a more emotionally colored terminology for the mind or the subtle body. Yes, Gaurangi.
Yes, I read a very interesting book by Carolyn Miss. It talks about the seven levels of consciousness corresponding to the seven chakra, to the seven sacraments in Christianity. So different levels of consciousness, like the tribal, and then you have the sexual, then you have the parental, and then you have the love, and then you have the ultimately the spiritual earth.
Gaurangi talks about the knowledge of the different energy centers in the human body, which are also related to the emotions. This is knowledge which has comes from the yoga psychology, and it has been taken up by Christianity, even their psychology people. We will talk in details about this, and you will see that there is really some truth in it. I think devotees have sometimes felt the experience, for instance, when chanting or when coming together with a very nice devotee who moves our heart, that we respond on this level. That our emotions, we become free, loving, and so on. And we have maybe also felt that emotions which are centered maybe lower in our chakras and in our subtle bodies have also determined us. It is known, for instance, in sympathy, when we talk about sympathy, that some people, just a young boy and a young girl meet, and in a disco, and there is no time to exchange even one word. It's so hellishly loud. But they feel this drawn, something works on them, which is really where most people are situated nowadays. People are thinking about their survival a lot in modern times and about their attraction to the opposite gender. These are emotions which are here. Sometimes you, as a spiritualist, might feel these emotions are not so there, but you feel in your heart, oh, what a nice person, and so on. And you feel, even without this person having talked to you, and non-verbal communication of, affection, compassion. You may see a child and you may feel like, oh, this child is crying. I mean, I really will do something against him. What is the matter? Can I help? You look for your mother most properly. And while you do this, you feel some emotion of care coming, compassion, and so on. This is more situated here. without much verbal communication. There's another communication which we hear, non-verbal communication, sadhu sangha. As you come in contact with a genuine devotee of the Lord, your spirituality, you resonate on the spiritual level, and you feel, well, I should also become more determined. I will also go for Mangalarati. I usually don't. I'm not awake in these inhuman times, but I will go. By the contact with the devotee, which is also a non-verbal communication, like the non-verbal communications which we have discussed in the other emotional centers, your determination comes, which is something which is still higher situated. You will hear a very detailed description of this when we go to the yoga psychology. You will also then there find an explanation how you feel and why you feel the way you feel. It will be, we will go a little into material emotions. Don't worry, we won't stay for long there, but long enough to make you smile.